something like 36.
What? Something like 36?
Hold your voice.
Wait, what is that anyway? Something like 36. Does that include me?
37.
I'm 37?
I'm going to class.
Oh, my God. 37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, try not to suck any dick on the way through the parking lot. Hey, you, get back here.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
The record button.
It's been a minute for me.
Is it red?
Yes,
the red button.
All is well.
All right.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, northeast Ohio, sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle.
It is.
And the one show I know I'm going to is...
You want to start it off with that?
Metal at the Mat.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to that one.
March Madness, Metal at the Mat 2.
I'll be at that one.
Persistent Aggressor, Radiant, and Goose.
Do you know how much tickets are for that show? Not $125.
And if you show up at a decent time, you might get a piece of pizza.
You're going to get fed. You're not going to spend $125 on a show and then $12 for a beer. $7 for a soft pretzel.
And I am joined by everybody's favorite, the one, the only, Rubber City Red Beer!
That's real, son.
I need it.
Oh, you're mad.
Well, I'm angry all the time.
Oh, yeah. Mostly. Okay, yeah, that's true.
Especially about that, though.
Yeah, about...
That!
The
show!
There's a lot of shows. Today is kind of a special episode. We're going to be going over all the big metal rock tours that have been announced recently. Sure. And we got to start with the one that has caused the controversy, the one that day one brought the excitement. Then a few hours later, people got wind of what ticket prices were going to cost. And they were like, oh, fuck. And it caused a great divide between people who don't have money and the people that do have money. And oh, my God,
people that fucking have annoying. People that have a savings account versus the people who live paycheck to paycheck. Which is like 80% of America, by the way. Like 80% of this fucking country is paycheck to paycheck. Like, yes. Nobody fucking makes any money. And we sure as fuck couldn't like plan ahead and save for this shit. Oh, it's not right after Christmas and fucking New Year's and Valentine's Day when you fucking already went through all your fucking money. No, it's not right after that. Oh, wait. Yes, it is. Well, yes, it is.
And of course, we're talking about a show that features iconic political fucking music geniuses, and Rage Against the Machine is also headlining that show.
God, see what you did there.
Yeah, you like that? RTJ and Rage Against the Machine. Now, ticket prices for this show were...
Call Ticketron.
We're at a minimum of $125 a piece. So, like, that's...
It was $125 across the board.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, across the board. So all like, the tickets, $125.
So if you have great seats.
Front row, $125. Level 3, row 30, $125. Stone Cold Steve Austin, he can go to that show. You know why? He's got Stone Cold Steve Austin money. I don't.
I almost bought tickets. I almost bought tickets, but I couldn't justify buying.
I thought you were gonna.
I couldn't justify spending. Well, if I were to go, here's the thing, the bitch about it is if you buy tickets for it, you're not buying one ticket, you're buying at least two. You're looking at like 300 plus for two people, right? That's like
I think it was $125 a ticket and then a $20 service charge per ticket.
Yeah.
Per ticket, dude. Like, how do they even do that? How do they get away with that? How is that legal? Do you remember the days of $1.50 service charge? Then it went to like $3.
Yeah.
Then it went to like $7, and we were all like, hey, whoa. $20 for a service fee per ticket? What's happening?
It's pretty mind-blowing. Minimum wage against the machine.
Ain't nobody fucking, you know, like, I'm just saying. people who were like were really into Rage back in the day, and you know, the majority of them people don't have that kind of fucking money. You think Rage doesn't know that? Of course Rage fucking knows that. When Prophets of Rage was fucking doing their thing, right? $100 fucking box set for Rage. When they fucking put the $100 box set out, I was like, whoa, dude. $100 for a box set?
Right.
Jesus Christ. Not Rage Against the Machine very well. Like, you're kind of turning into the machine. Right?
Right.
$125 a seat. Doesn't matter where you're fucking getting them. And forget the fact that, like, you know, these ticket places have this software that fucking snatches tickets up, like, super quick. Like, I heard floor was gone. Like, gone. Fucking gone.
I don't know a person that's, like, got the floor seats.
There was one person I seen on a thread that said, I kept refreshing my browser and finally got one floor seat.
Yeah.
Like, so that like, there was, like, a single floor seat floating around or whatever, and he fucking got that shit. Like a half an hour after tickets went on sale. Or 15 minutes after tickets went on sale. It was after tickets went on sale. Everybody else, though? I don't know anybody else that's on the floor. Everybody else has fucking nosebleed seats. Kenny Royer's got fucking nosebleed seats. Holy shit.
Speaking of somebody that's going.
Special guest star.
Are these your Uggs?
Hey. How you doing?
Are these your Uggs, Turkey Vulture?
They're the wife's Uggs.
It's not not Eagle. It's Turkey Vulture.
Turkey Vulture.
Yeah, Eric Turkey Vulture.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
We were just discussing Larry from Persistent Aggressor who just showed up with a surprise. Oh, what do you got in your hand there?
Oh, I'm ruining him.
Holy shit.
Only good things.
Dope. Holy shit, that's a dope-ass fucking poster.
You haven't seen that?
I mean, I've seen it, but image, like I haven't seen like
the poster.
Yeah, promise me you'll put them up over at Square and stuff.
Yeah, we will, 100%.
My lazy ass isn't walking across the street right now.
Oh, I got this.
Putting one up in my house.
There's something else for you.
What's that?
A story.
Oh!
I can use the toilet.
That's right. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Because I'm always, the whole point of me coming here is to help you out, Eric. Just like last time, I was helping you out with your homeless thing.
I remember.
I'm helping you with your potty issues.
I'm still living in the car, by the way.
The toilet is in the bathroom. When Eric needs to use the toilet, he should go to the bathroom.
Oh, you
should.
Okay.
He should pull down his pants.
Oh, that's the step that always fucks me up.
If Eric needs to pee, he can stand and urinate into the toilet.
Stand to pee? What kind of nonsense?
If Eric needs to poo, he can sit on the toilet.
Sit the shit? No, no.
But you face the back because the top's like a little table.
Yes, yeah, that's where I do my crossword puzzles.
When Eric is finished, he should use the toilet paper.
Not your socks.
I thought that was like notepad paper.
Okay. Eric can wipe with toilet paper or call for help.
Starting with
Grant.
Okay.
Maybe Jess. Maybe Jess.
I don't want to.
As long as Jess is alive, she comes first. So.
Then Eric should pull up his pants. Do not walk out of the bath in your pants down, Eric.
It's not before you wipe.
Okay.
After.
Then Eric should flush the toilet.
This is like a lot to remember.
Next, Eric should wash his hands.
Ew. Because you got poop on him.
Mario, I'm telling Eric he should wash his hands when he returns to his shift. I'm helping Mario out too. See, I'm killing two birds with one stone.
Okay.
And that's like it. Yeah, there you go.
That is a lot of notes.
That's for my students. I can't give you this one because I need that one.
That's okay. Well, I have it now on audio.
Okay.
And so I will just listen to it on a loop in the car.
Yeah, you got an audio book.
Till I remember it.
There you go. We'll listen it to work and on the way home from work.
So yeah, special guest surprise. And a man that is going to the show that we were just speaking of. You're going to Rage Against the Machine.
Yes.
You bought raging?
Tickets? No, I didn't buy tickets. My wife bought tickets.
That is super sweet.
It's complicated.
Did you get floor?
I don't know. I seriously have no idea. Well, it's the Pittsburgh show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I have no idea where the seats are at. I have no idea what my plans for... Well, I know what my plans are on the way there. I'm going to fucking record stores, because if I have to go sit through that fucking bullshit...
There's some good record stores in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to some record stores, maybe get some food. shit, I wish it was baseball season. I'd go catch a game. Because my National League team is the Pirates.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I ride or die for fucking mid-market teams. You know? Like, I know it's kind of heresy, but if the Tribe isn't making it happen in the playoffs, then I'm going to go for a smaller mid-market team, even if it's one of their competitors, because, you know, fuck New York and all those other shithead teams, you know. But the Pirates were a pretty good team for a while. And
in like the 70s?
Nah, they had a couple good players about 5-6 years ago. And
like Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, no. It's a nice ballpark. I've been to quite a few ballparks, and it's a pretty nice ballpark. We had a good time there. And the fans there, sorry Cleveland fans, but Pittsburgh fans were a little bit kinder and gentler when we were there.
You were at a baseball game though, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay, you weren't at a Steelers game.
Well, because I don't give a fuck about football.
But if you go to a Cleveland Indians game, the fans are dicks.
Oh,
Not really. You run into like a drunk dickhead every now and then. But like, you go to a Browns game, that's fucking...
I think it's a Cleveland thing. I think sports are irrelevant. The sport is irrelevant. I think that Cleveland fans are kind of shitty sometimes.
Like, as a guy who lives by Dick's Stadium, I feel like the Cleveland Stadium should be Dick's Stadium.
Okay.
Because there's lots of dicks.
There's a lot.
Yeah, so I'm going to the show. She wanted to go. She really likes them a lot.
Dude, I wanted to go. I really like them a lot. I get it. Why didn't she buy me a ticket?
You know, if I had known, I would have said, hey, I got my friend Grant. He'd be more than happy to go with you because I really don't want to go to this.
You do get to see Run the Jewels, which is a bucket list group
for
me.
You know, I kind of like them. Like, I like Killer Mike. I think he's a pretty good MC. Yeah. I don't always like all the music, and I think I need to take a deep dive on them before I go to the show.
I think so.
I can at least enjoy them.
They're fun.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I just have a lot of complicated emotions regarding that band, so.
Regarding?
Rage.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I mean, my complicated emotion right now is just anger. That's the only emotion I have about the show is anger. I was happy. I was so happy about the show.
Did you not get tickets?
Of course I didn't get tickets. $125 fucking dollars, and right. I'm not guaranteed to get on the floor?
Right.
No. Like, look, if I could have got general admission for $125, I probably would have fucking paid it, dude. But nosebleed, $125. Yeah. Like, every seat in the house is $125.
Yeah.
Come on. And they're like, we're giving money to charity.
They think that, well, you know, and that's a bunch of horse shit. They think they're doing everybody a favor by keeping everything one price, but it's really just, I don't know.
It's very LA of them to think that $125 is reasonable. Like, it feels like that's an LA thing. Like,
yeah, how long has it been since you've been to the Midwest?
No, that's, I don't know if it's an LA thing. I think that there are plenty of people who pay a lot more money for other kinds of bands. You know, I feel that.
Cher?
Yeah.
Madonna?
Sure.
You know, something like that. Sure.
I can't even roll to McDonald's and, like, order a Big Mac and feel good about it. It's dollar sandwiches for me.
Yeah.
You know? I can't spend that kind of money.
Well, I mean, I kind of, it's weird for me because, like, I feel that a lot of people don't want to pay for shows generally. I think.
Yeah.
And this is, hear me out here real quick. I think that, you know, unless a show is free, people are like, oh, $10. You know, people are fucking,
oh, yeah.
10 people are fucking spoiled and they're shitty about it. By the same token, I think the most I've ever spent on any ticket was maybe outside of a festival was maybe $40. I went to go see Alice Cooper at the Civic.
I saw Alice Cooper at the Civic.
This was a number of years ago, and that was a really good time. But generally speaking, I'm not going to pay a bunch of money to go see your band. Not because I don't like them, not because I don't support them, but most of the bands I enjoy do not charge outrageous prices like that.
No, yeah, exactly.
Furthermore, you know, they're frauds. Rage Against the Machine is the biggest fucking fraud on the face of the planet. Sorry.
I can't disagree with you right now.
Here's the thing. I mean, like, let me break this up a little bit here. Let's set their politics aside for a second, right? On a purely visceral level, I do not like their music.
Okay.
One bit. I will go out of my way to say that they're good musicians. Zach is a hell of a fucking vocalist. He's got a roar behind him that's pretty pretty intense. But they do a style of music that I just don't give a fuck about.
Rap metal.
Yeah, and it's just what is what it is. I also need to say before I go any further that for my friends, yes, I have very strong opinions. I do not mean them as facts. So don't get your fucking underwear in a goddamn bunch if I shit on your fucking band. And I'm really trying not to shit on them. I'm just making a point.
I learned today you're supposed to shit on the toilet.
Yeah, you're supposed to shit on the toilet. Mm-hmm. This band is in the toilet. So then the other thing about it that I find really hard to deal with is that, you know, it's egregious to me that their whole platform is based on the socialist notion that they're fighting the man and they're selling Che Guevara t-shirts and this whole aesthetic of theirs. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit because you know, they're supposedly giving money to charity. Okay, I'm sure they are. I'm sure a portion of it is going to charity.
They haven't announced what charity they're supposed to be local.
Beyond that, let's just say it's 100% transparent. We know what charity it's going to. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Right? Because they're smart guys. They're not really going to say that unless they intend on giving it to somebody. However, the whole conceit of this is that they're doing this big tour and they're playing these huge venues, which means they're in bed with motherfuckers that have antithetical ideologies in theirs. So it's a zero-sum game. They can give out all their money to as many fucking charities as they want, but they're still also in bed with these other dudes who are making money off of their music and putting that money to causes that are against exactly what this band is fighting for. It's terrible business. They're a band that carries a lot of fucking weight, clearly, because they can sell $125 tickets, $150 tickets to a concert. They carry a ton of weight. The fact that they haven't used that weight to create a space for themselves to do it at a grassroots level and push the issue and say, no, motherfucker, we're going to have our own people in place. They're going to get us the gigs that we want in the venues we want, not to deal with these fucking assholes. They're playing Coachella. They're right. Playing then, like, fucking the
dude,
Coachella.
And it's that. And, like, that
it's,
dude is,
it's
like,
heinous.
Seriously anti-gay.
Everything,
the dude that runs that shit. Super fucking staunch Republican.
Yeah, they're everything that band stands against. Now, I don't hold every band that plays major venues like that to this standard, but they set that bar for themselves. And if you're going to talk all that fucking shit and have videos of you getting arrested at fucking rallies and whatever else they were doing in the 90s, then I'm going to hold you to it. If you're going to be Motley Crue who's going to talk about going to strip clubs and fucking doing coke off some girl's ass, then that's fine, you know, because then you're in it for the money and you're going to deal with assholes and you have no qualms with it. But I come from, you know, a point of view like I've seen a million bands that come from the same, you know, I guess milieu that they did, you know, they're start off in the punk hardcore scene in various other bands that have done it the right way and hold the same values and are just as effective as whatever route they think they're taking now, because they're not reaching any new fans. They're not changing any minds. Zach De La Rocha is not the voice we need to hear right now, because Zach De La Rocha, frankly, is in the fucking bed with all these guys that are Trump supporters. You know, that's the long and short of it.
The fact that we haven't heard anything from the motherfucker in forever,
other than the cuts he did on the Run the Jewels record.
Look, I'm not,
but he hasn't been actively vocal in anything over the past fucking 15, 20
years.
Well,
he might have been. I mean, I'm sure he's been doing a lot of work on his own and doesn't publicize it. I'm trying not to be that cynical about it. I don't think it's a cash grab necessarily. I think that their business model is horseshit, and people looking to them as some, you know, paragon of virtue is just, it's absurd on the face of it. That said, I'm really happy for my friends who love that band. I know a couple people who fucking absolutely love that band, and it's a chance for them to go there and have a blast and have a kick-ass time. My wife is fucking geeked. She does not get geeked about concerts, and I'm happy for her. But the only reason I've taken such umbrage with it is the first thing out of anybody's mouth is like, yeah, this is the band we need right now. No, this is not the band.
Oh, that, no, no, no.
That's where I get bent. Otherwise, man, go have fun. Knock yourself out. That's,
yeah. Like, I was planning to go to the hospital the next day, that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to get beat down. I knew it. I'm 42. I can't fucking do that shit like I used to. Like, I understood. But, like, I'm going to pay money and then I'm going to go to the hospital afterwards. But I was okay with it.
Yeah.
If I could have died at that show, if I could have died at Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewel, like, I'd have been good. Yeah. I'd been okay with that.
You know, and far be it for me to throw stones. Nobody's perfect. I get that. But, boy, they really just take it to the nth level with their, you know, with their dogma. So I'm going to automatically clap back at them when people say, oh, this is the band we need now. No, you could get the same thing. go buy a Dead Kennedys record. You get the same thing. More cleverly written, better music, and there you go. Go buy a Public Enemy record. There you go. You get the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get...
Yeah, but that's why they had Chuck D with fucking Prophets of Rage and shit. Yeah. Because, you know, and that's
still trying to figure out the beat.
I didn't even listen to any of that. I don't even know what that sounds like.
Prophets of Rage?
I know who it was, but I didn't hear any of it, so I can't criticize
it. It was just gimmickry.
I think that was a cash grab. I wasn't really going the cash grab route when I was talking about Zach. But my point is that for a guy like that who is like so strongly opinionated when it comes to politics and, you know, government being against the people, that if you are that guy, you have that kind of fame, like, everybody knows who the fuck you are. They're gonna listen to you and shit. Why the fuck have you not done anything publicly, like, really out there in the past 20 years? If you are really about the fight, if you are really about the struggle, where have you been?
I wonder if he suffered burnout. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, they were laser hot for a while. And I could see how somebody's like, you know what, I'm gonna walk away from this and do my own quiet grassroots thing. I mean, that might be it. I hear what you're saying, you know. And
could have even just been as much as a creative argument, a debate. I mean, like, I remember Audio Slave. You put together Chris Cornell and the Rage guys.
Right.
There's no Zach. Zach's nowhere around. Those guys want to still jam together. There's no Zach to be found. And they go and they make Audio Slave, which was just, you know, radio. It sucked. It was just radio, whatever the fuck. Sounded nothing like Rage. But then they go and they do Prophets of Rage. Same dudes.
Yeah,
same fucking dudes. No Zach. I have a feeling that there was
just personal differences.
I think there was a personal difference between him and those three dudes, and they never really wanted to overly publicly. Nothing was ever really discussed about it. Like, you never really read anything about, like, oh, there's turmoil. Zach has something, but those dudes all jamming. No Zach, doing multiple bands without Zach, and now they get Zach, and they're like, hey. Look, I mean, art is worth what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And people were willing, very willing to pay the $125. And, like, God bless them. We get it. You have jobs.
I have a job!
And it is funny to me that a band called Rage Against the Machines, like, our fans have to have jobs. Like, look, we are not, no riffraff coming to our fucking shows. Because the people going, like, they're all just, like, it's the clout chaser of the summer. It's all I'm going to hear about from my friends, like the people that are going. I'm going to hear about it on a constant. Like, yeah, I could afford it. No, I could afford it.
Hey, Eric, I'm there for you. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm just going because I'm along for the ride, man.
Yeah, you know, like, there was plenty of them threads, and I think it was on Rage's page. There was some chick was like, yeah, me and my husband bought tickets to 3 shows. And I'm like, you rich motherfuckers?
Yeah.
You bought 2 tickets for 3 shows?
Yeah, this
is 6 fucking tickets.
This is a real splurging kind of expense right now.
Right.
But it's something she really wanted to see, and I was like, all right, that's cool. If she can make it work in the budget,
we'll totally get it. And look, especially like if you're at this age in the stage in life, like if you can still get excited about a show, fucking go. Right. That's awesome.
It's funny.
I was super excited about this show. I can't go.
It's funny, all the shows I wanted to go see when I was younger, I was always too broke. And now that I have, and I'm using this fast and loose, disposable income, I don't get to go to shows. I've got 3 fucking kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, and let's be clear, I pretty much agree with their platform. Like, that's not 100%, but I lean pretty hard to the left. So it's not, I have an ideological problem with what they're saying. It's just how it's executed. You know, more than anything, you know, but, yeah, I hope everybody has a good time. I certainly hope my wife does. I mean, she's super excited about it and, you know.
I mean, her more than anybody. I wish her a good time.
I mean, look, I made her go see Creator and Voivod with me, and she was fucking miserable. So who am I?
Really?
Yeah, who am I to be like, dude, there was one time during the show that she turned around and said this was great. It was like, I thought she'd like Voivod of the two better because, you know, they're a bit of a weird beard band, you know, and she appreciates kind of oddball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She turns to me when they were done. She's like, that was terrible. And my fucking heart sank because that's like my favorite band. I was just like, really? And she goes, yeah, I didn't like that. I'm like, all right, you know. So I'm thinking in my head, man, Creator's going to get up here and she's going to be like, what the fuck is this nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through the set, she turns to me and she goes, this is awesome. And I'm like, really? Why? She goes, they have a song called Enemies of God. How is that not entertaining? And I said, in what way? She goes, no, I mean, she goes, it's just entertaining to me. They're in the, to her mind and to what she's thinking, they've invested themselves enough into this thing where he's like screeching the song titles between songs, and one of them's called Enemies of God. She's like, oh yeah, this is awesome. You know, not even it doesn't reflect her religious values or anything like that. It doesn't reflect whether she likes metal or not. She just wants to be entertained, and Creator was fucking entertaining to her.
That's awesome.
And she was just like, yeah, Enemies of God, I'm sold. That's perfect. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, just the whole thing, you know, but so I made her go to that, and I'll go to Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, you're a good husband.
I don't know about that, but
I wish my wife would have bought me Rage Against the Machine tickets. Like, I wanted to go to the show. I know half of their catalog. I know enough of their catalog to be able to enjoy it. But really, for me, Run the Jewels, since we started this podcast, Run the Jewels has been just like, it's my shit.
Yeah.
It's my fucking shit.
You turned me on to
them. Like I said, there were a couple songs I've heard. I dug them. I just didn't dive into them head first yet, so I think I'm going to give them a hard listen before we go to the show.
Oh, yeah, you should. You should. They're fucking...
The Run of Jewels 3 was, like, my first... Like, he let me listen to a couple songs before that album came out, but that December when that came out, like, that was my first, like, real... Like, when I got into Run the Jewels,
mm-hmm.
They're fucking great. Those guys are great.
Just hardcore.
I had no idea who the fuck they were at all. Like, that was so out of left field for me.
Have you seen that show on Netflix Killer Mike did?
Oh, I've only seen one episode of that.
Trigger Warning?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a hilarious show.
The one where he got the Crips and Bloods selling soda pops was fucking great. Yeah.
And they should.
Yeah, I mean, I like him a lot. He's a pretty funny guy.
There's a video on YouTube of him speaking at a college, and he basically just told everybody, like, you motherfuckers talk about a revolution and let's start a revolution. He was like, none of you are ready for a revolution.
No.
He was like, how many of you know any kind of martial arts?
Oh, yeah.
How many of you can farm?
Can
hunt your own food and fucking provide for yourself. None of you. You're not ready for nothing. Well, I was just like, damn.
It's always the academics and people with money who want to stir shit up. They don't want to do any of the dirty work.
Yeah.
And that floats on both sides of the fucking quote-unquote aisle. You know, the people on the right aren't willing to do their dirty work, so they have the poor people do it. The people on the left aren't willing to do their dirty work, so all the poor people have to do it. So, fuck them both.
Yeah. That's the good thing about the right, right? Like, they don't try to act like they're the poor people's friends and shit.
No, they're just like,
we're better than you.
They're pieces of shit.
As to where the left is more like, no, hey, we're buddies. We're cool. No, we're good. We're good. We're buddies. We're friends. We're not.
There's a clip by this comedian Barry Crimmins that I really like. He died recently. He did a lot of political comedy, and there's this bit where he takes a dime and he sets it on a music stand. He says, "I'm going to show you the difference between Republicans and Democrats." He's like, "I can put this dime right here, and a Democrat's going to steal that from me. They're going to find a way to steal that dime from me. A Republican's going to murder me for it." And I know that's kind of gross and it's meant for the punchline, but when you think about it, it's fucking 100% true, man.
Yeah.
They're not in favor of any of the working people at all. So, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know what that was.
What the fuck was that?
I
feel like that was like a raccoon under your fucking truck.
No, it was not under
I think the truck. It was Eric's Port-a-John emptying itself.
Yes.
I'm glad I brought that book.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Again, the pants come up after you wipe.
After you wipe.
I just don't like pants.
So did you guys start talking about the show already?
I mean, we did.
What did I walk into?
We just started.
We just started. And we're doing is we are going over. I have a little list of all the metal concerts. There's a lot.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Going on. And, well, you came in just at the perfect time because...
Is there really not a perfect time for him to show up?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm just gonna breeze through these other ones because there's a good amount, and I want to see if you guys are going.
So what are these metal gigs, man? Tell me about them.
Let's just go with the stadium one. Let's go with the Motley Crue.
Nope.
Poison.
It's not even metal.
Def Leppard.
Stop.
Joan Jett.
I love Joan Jett.
I love Joan Jett.
I love Joan Jett too.
Joan Jett's
awesome. Where's that show at?
That's at the Browns Stadium, wherever the Browns play.
Oh, Stadium Tour. Okay.
It's a stadium
Wait,
tour.
She's on that gig with all those bands?
Yeah.
It's all one show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't be at that one.
You can leave after Joan Jett.
I'm not paying that much for this Joan Jett.
You could probably.
And have to deal with the people who wanted to call me a, you know, I'll say it. Have to deal with people who called me a fag in high school for liking the Dead Kennedys. I don't want to be at this show. I don't want to be there. Sorry.
The only reason I would go is to feel young in a crowd of people because I would feel pretty young. I need that in my life.
Yeah, those people are probably 10 years older than me even. So
I'm like so close to getting my midlife crisis. I can't wait for it.
The fucking, the amount of hairspray and VD walking around that show.
Oh man. Oh my god.
I'm good.
Let's talk about how many restraining orders are going to be.
It'll be interesting smelling like fucking Reggie Weed again, though. Like just those people. Oh, a lot of meth. I don't know. Who goes to fucking Motley Crue and Poison shows?
I have alcoholics. No idea.
Lots of alcoholics.
Alcoholics.
For sure.
So we're not going to this show.
No. I'm not. You guys do what you want. Like, I'm not trying to say yeah on that.
Cheerleaders.
What about Primus? Doing the tour. They're doing a Rush album. They're doing a Farewell to Kings, which is what? Six songs. Primus.
It's like 3 hours, though.
That's the one I want to go to.
it's like 30 minutes worth of stuff. I think Closer to the Heart's on that fucking record. So you can see Primus do six songs, and then they're going to be doing a regular Primus set. You a Primus fan, Larry?
Nah.
No?
You're not into Primus?
Nah. I respect him. I mean, I think Les Claypool is... God, he's fucking ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Larry Lalonde, I have particular fondness of because of his earlier band, Possessed. Yeah.
Oh.
Possessed Seven Churches. He was on that. Eyes of Horror. Beyond the Gates. But he completely disowns that music that he sort of... you think about Possessed. When you think about who invented death metal,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there are a lot of proto bands that you might throw at it, but it's between two bands for me. It's either Possessed or Death. And Larry Lalonde... was in Possessed and sort of helped invent death metal.
Do you think a lot of his fans from the Possessed days think that he's a sellout?
No, I don't. I don't even think he's a sellout. I just think it's kind of sad that he sort of disowns that legacy because those were great records. You know, Primus just doesn't. I don't know. I just don't care about it. It's noodling nonsense to me. Like it sounds like it's like fucking circus music to me. And if I want to go to the circus
and be terrified
by clowns, I'll go to the fucking circus and be terrified by clowns.
Well, I mean, the Gathering of the Juggalos is at Nelson's Ledgers this
year. It's not a circus.
There's a bunch of clowns.
Well, maybe I will go.
No animals in captivity?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Unless you're talking to children that don't have fathers that get dragged to the show by the Juggalettes. Then there are some animals in captivity, but I mean, you know. No, I mean, Primus is all right. It's not your cup of tea.
They're my cup of tea. I love Primus very much.
They're not my lane. Not my lane.
I think I might end up going to that. I want to go to at least one big show this summer.
If it's at Blossom, I'm not going.
I know. He's so mad at Blossom because...
I know the story, but I haven't heard it in a long time.
The Blossom story?
Yeah.
You were asking me about it today, about like what episode that was on.
So it was like 2003, 2004. Lamb of God played, Slipknot played. I can't remember who else was on.
It was Ozzfest, right?
So you mean
I think Black Sabbath was there. Yeah, it was Ozzfest.
So I was at that show.
All the greats.
It was Slayer, Judas Priest.
Was it Judas, that show?
Yeah.
It was a good year for Ozzfest. So me and Burns are there. And
that's where you went wrong.
Yeah, trust me, I know. So the two times I've been arrested for weed, Burns, right? So Lamb of God's getting ready to go on, and we're walking kind of over towards the second stage, and Burns is like, hey, let's go smoke this joint real quick. And I was like, the Lamb of God's coming on. He was like, yeah, we'll just go smoke this real quick, and then we'll go. And I was like, all right, cool. We go all the way to the back of the venue. Like, nobody is around. Like, there's nobody fucking in eyesight, right? And we're smoking this bowl. These four dudes come walking up over the hill, right? One dude has an Echo shirt on
with one of them little gold fucking necklace fucking herringbone things, mm-hmm. right? So they come over the hill, and they start walking right towards us, and Burns is hitting the bowl, and I was like, yo, dude's got an Echo shirt on. And Burns is like, what? I was like, an Echo shirt at Ozfest? And he was like, oh, shit. And he puts the bowl in his pocket. And here, there they are. All right. We know you got it. We can smell it. Bah, give us your weed. And we were like, oh, dude, that was our last bowl. We don't have any. We don't have any more. We just packed that one bowl coming in. They're like, look, we're going to search you. And we're going to search you really good. So if you have it, just give it to us. Now, I had a half ounce of some of the best fucking blueberry I've ever had in my life. Like, tastiest, best looking, best smoking.
Was it organic?
I don't know. I don't know that it was organic.
Oh, you mean it was a name of weed.
It was a strain of marijuana.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those. I'm one of those squares. I have no idea what you're talking
about. It was very fruity. Very delicious.
Fruity sounds appropriate.
This fucking weed.
Talking about you and Burns.
Yeah.
Ha! Zing. Bang.
Cause dudes. So, I got this half ounce like in my nuts, right? So I fucking pull this bag out that was just resting against my sweaty ball sack, and I slam it down in this fucking dude's hand, right? And he fucking opens the bag and smells it. Which is still, like, the only good part of the story for me is that he put his nose where my nuts were.
Right? That's a good part of his story.
That's the only good part of the story. But he smells it. He was like, oh, you got the good shit. And I was like, no, I don't. You got the good shit. And I was like, look, dude, I was like, just fucking take our weed. Don't fucking bust us for this shit. Like, we're at a fucking concert and shit. I was like, if you fucking, you know, give me a ticket for this, I'm going to lose my job. Like, I'm going to lose my license for 6 months, and I am a mile away from a car. Mm-hmm. This is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, nothing we could do. Shouldn't have did this. Blah, 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 blah. So they're walking us to the cop hut. Oh, right. Three of the cops are with Burns. The one dude with the Echo shirt is with me. Okay, so we're walking, and the dude tugs on the back of my shirt, right? And I turn around, and he's, like, kind of, like, looking at me. And I was like, you gonna give me some of my weed back? What are we doing right now? Hey, so I'm a narcotics officer from the Cuyahoga Falls Police Department. You know, if you want this to go away, you obviously know where the good shit is. So just, you know, tell me where you get it from. And I fuck, like, my whole demeanor changed. Like, everything just dropped.
So he was
just
trying to get you to
give up my weed, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, you know the kingpin.
Ooh. Now, half of this bag was for Jimmy Bauer, right? A quarter of that was for Jimmy Bauer. A quarter of it was for us to smoke off.
Jimmy Bauer from Super Joint Ritual, Crowbar. Down, I Hate God.
Right.
Which is the only band you should have mentioned. Go ahead.
So, like, that was our backstage.
Yeah.
Like, not only did you take my weed, dude, but you took our backstage pass for the day. Mm-hmm. You know? So, my whole fucking demeanor changed, dude. And I just looked at him and I was like, you want me to give you my weed, guy? And he was like, well, you know where the good stuff's at. I'm like, where the fuck am I going to buy my weed from? Where am I going to get my weed from if I give you my weed, guy? I was like, write my fucking ticket. Write my fucking $125 ticket and get the fuck out of here. So we go to the cop hut and they're writing us up, booking us in or whatever. And as they're getting our information, there's like another room, you know, like in the back or whatever. And you just hear this girl go, Grant? And I was like, Vanessa? And the cops are like, what the fuck is happening right now? Out of an entire show with like fucking 20,000 people, two people they busted for weed are in there at the same time and know each other. There was like 200 other undercover officers at this fucking show. There was 101 arrests that day. 101 arrests at an Ozfest. Ozzy never came back. After that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, Ozzy fucking caught wind of that shit and was like, we're never coming back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fucking... how much money do you think they fucking paid those assholes overtime to fucking police a show for fucking weed?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Those guys make like $30 an hour.
Right.
Or whatever fucking doing right. That bullshit, you know what I mean? And like, I don't know if you remember Terry Cox. Terry used to come out to shows all the time. She was super awesome. Used to work at Dino's back in the day. Was real tight with Burns.
Maybe.
Terry got busted before she even got out of her car. Like, she parked her car, got her weed out of the console, and there's a cop at her window.
So that's really why you're not going to Blossom?
Yes!
That's really why he's not going to Blossom.
When people work...
I think you're overreacting.
40, 50, 60 hours a week. Right?
I don't think he's overreacting.
To go to a show...
I'm trying to poke the bear.
You make $300 a week.
Yeah.
Right? You fucking work all week, and all you're fucking thinking about is, I just want to go to this fucking show. You spent $100 on the fucking show. You got $100 in a bag of weed. Two-thirds of your check for that week is now gone. And then you get busted at a show, a metal show. I was like, dude, there's 20,000 cases of public intox walking around here right now ready to start a fight. And you're fucking with me over weed. Like, people work very fucking hard for their money. And then you go to this show, and then they fucking take your shit. They kick you out of the fucking show, and then you got to go to court. I had to pay them $400 right there, or I was going to jail. That fucking Kim Hoover, Judge Kim Hoover from Cuyahoga Falls. It was like $380 right now, or you go to jail. And I'm like, I don't have $380 in my pocket. Who the fuck walks around with $400 cash in their pocket? You rich son of a bitch.
And now we won't go to Blossom.
I don't go to Blossom.
That's fine.
You know what's crazy is I saw Hart and Joan Jett over the summer at Blossom, and I saw like a bunch of people like in their 50s and 60s hitting vape pens, and I just kept thinking of you. I was just like, oh, Grant would be so mad right now.
Know,
I
mean, last time I was at Blossom was that Slayer show, and you talked about the guy's public intox, you know, walking around ready to start a fight. Yeah. I took my son to that show, and you know, he just turned 17. I looked at him. I said, okay, so here's how this works. I paid for your ticket, so I'm going to pick the biggest motherfucker here, and you have to fight him. And he just looked at me, and I'm like thinking, there are Slayer fans that are complete fucking knuckle draggers, you know?
Oh,
and,
yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
It's one of my favorite bands ever, but, like, I'm just like, and there are some really fucking interesting, intense-looking motherfuckers walking around. I'm like, how about that one? Brent's just looking at me like, shut up, dude.
Just shut
up. Not even like shut up like he thought. He's just rolling his eyes like, you're not funny. And I'm like, I thought it was hysterical. He didn't think it was funny at all. So that's one show.
One show.
Motley Crue.
Yeah. And then the Primus. But the show at the Blossom that I can't believe that you won't break.
I'm not going to go.
You won't break. I don't even care that Korn's headlining. I'm leaving before Korn. I don't give a shit.
I've literally waited my whole life for the show.
68, Helmet, and Faith No More. Bucket list band for me. I've never seen Faith No More. I've seen him.
I've seen
multiple Mike Patton projects. Mike Patton, one of my favorite, if not favorite singer of all time. Mm-hmm. Faith No More is just bucket list coming around.
You should go.
Bless him. I'm going. Yeah, I'm going.
All right, man.
I'm going.
Which is good.
I'm going.
I want you to go.
Good.
I hope that you do.
I want you to go.
I won't.
That's what breaks my heart, is that you are going to miss out on, I mean, like, have you ever heard the band 68?
No.
Oh, you should.
I've never even heard of them.
They're so good.
I'll check them
out. It's a two-piece. It's
not
a two-piece.
Not as good as 69, am I right?
Yeah, they're awesome. They played last time they were around here. They played with Whores down at the Buzz Bin. I did not get to go to that show. I was very upset about that. Whores is coming soon too, like March 23rd with Goost, and
they're playing that 2-year anniversary show.
Yeah, up at the West Side Bowl.
That'd be cool.
They should. I'm hoping to go to that.
Yeah, I mean that Korn Faith No More Helmet show should be good.
It should be good.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of, you know.
Are you not a Faith No More fan?
I appreciated them more as their career went on. I saw them on the Real Thing tour. It was...
Oh, jealous.
It was Voivod, Soundgarden, and Faith No More. Faith No More opened up the show, and Faith No More was fucking lousy.
Really?
It was when he was doing the fucking Anthony Kiedis fucking dopey bullshit, and I just was, like, turned off. But as the records went on, I kept an eye open, ear open rather, and I appreciate him more. I think he's a super talented vocalist, and I pretty much admire anything he does. Even if I don't like it, I'm like, yeah, that guy, he's the real deal. He's a fucking talented motherfucker.
His, like, you know,
and
like
I've seen Helmet. I saw him at the Euclid Tavern when Strappin' On came out.
Ooh.
That was a really good show.
That's crazy that you see a band that's popular. Yeah.
They weren't popular at the time. I wanted to see them again, but again, like I said, you know, I didn't have a bunch of money, so I missed them when Meantime came out. I didn't get to see them or any time after that.
Right.
And I went to that show. A buddy of mine dragged me to see this band from DC, Jawbox, and Helmet helped me headline. I didn't know anything about them, and I sat through Jawbox, and he was like, "Well, let's go." And I'm like, "No, I'm going to say see the last minute. You made me sit through that shit. Let me check these guys out. And they were fucking... There is when they're at their noisiest, and that's when I—that's what I like the most about is when they're noisy.
I saw what do they call it? AFI. I saw them at the Euclid Tavern. They became like the pioneers of the emo shit in the early 2000s. When I saw them, they were a punk band, an actual punk band. Played pool with Davey Havoc.
I'm sure that's what they called themselves.
Yeah, that's what his name was. They were
a punk band.
They were punk. They were punkish.
Sure.
They covered a Misfit song. Sure. They covered a Misfit song.
So does everybody. You can throw a rock down this fucking street here in Highland Square to hit a dude who's in a band and score a fucking Misfit song.
There's definitely people that are not in punk bands that cover Misfit songs.
Yeah. Are there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Garth Brooks.
Did he?
No, I'm just
saying. I said that so casually.
Yeah.
I mean, Garth Brooks, of course. Yeah.
So what's up after that?
When he did Green Hell. You don't remember Garth Brooks' cover of Green Hell?
Right after Low Places, isn't that his famous... Yeah, Low Places, and then right into Green Hell.
I got to see Mr. Bungle, and I've never seen Faith No More.
Have you watched those recent videos on YouTube of Mr. Bungle?
I watched
doing,
the whole
the cover songs, doing...
Cro-Mag
songs.
Uh-uh.
That was fucking pretty dope.
Did you see the dude awesome. Who threw his fucking friend's ashes up on stage?
Yep.
Oh, I heard about that. I didn't watch it, though. I saw a clip of it, just a picture. I didn't see the actual video. I'm going to have to go back and watch
the thumbnail.
Yeah.
I seen the thumbnail.
That's it.
They just did all the reunion show. They just did like a bunch of classic hardcore covers. Like just
they did some Crumbsucker songs. They did band, and they actually had Harley from the Chrome. I used to get there and do it with them.
They did SOD or MO. Was it MOD or SOD? SOD.
They did SOD songs. They changed it from Speak English or Die to Speak Spanish or Die. That's which I thought was tight.
That's like, brilliant. That's,
yeah.
You gotta get rid of that weird fucking racist Billy Milano lyrics.
Well, sort of. I mean Billy Milano is a complete fucking bonehead, but those lyrics were written by Scott Ian. What people forget is SOD was supposed to be satire.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they had fucking Billy Milano as their vocalist.
Yeah.
He's not satirical. He's a fucking bigoted meathead, you know? So then, yeah.
Hey, no,
you can't really be bigoted writing songs like Wigger.
White though, yeah, seriously, yeah, that the MOD.
Have you not heard Aren't You Hungry? I mean, that song is hellaciously,
yeah,
that song is awful.
I mean, what's terrible is SOD is Bigger Than the Devil record is one of my like top five fucking albums.
Don't they have a song there called Celtic Frosted Flakes?
yeah, the Whatever Happened to Celtic Frost. Billy Milano.
But anyway, yeah, I saw the videos of that Mr. Bungle show, the covers they did at least, and I thought that was pretty cool. We had a killer lineup. I mean, Dave Lombardo on drums? Fuck. Come on.
Yeah, Lombardo, and I thought the Scott
and Mike
Ian
Patton's
was
super
neat.
Talented again, like I said. I like the guy. I just don't. Yeah. Not a huge fan of his music.
Who's a bigger asshole and more. This is like a two part question, I guess. But who's a bigger asshole and more racist, Billy Milano or Phil Anselmo? I'm asking you.
Fuck. I'd probably have to...
You think they're, like, in the same car?
I think they're in the same fucking car. I think the difference is that, you know, Billy Milano has probably dealt with more folks of, color and different ethnicities than Phil Anselmo has, given that Billy Milano did a lot of his time in New York and early New York hardcore scene.
Yeah. And he puts that shit in his lyrics. Like, Phil just does it in between songs. There's a difference.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just...
Billy's writing songs.
I mean, here's the thing. They might be perfectly fine people. I don't believe that they are.
Yeah.
My gut tells me that they're both pieces of shit. But, I mean, but at the same time, it's like... Again, it goes back to what I said last time I was here. It's like, if that's your train of thought, man, go on about your business. I don't have any use for you.
Yeah.
You know? So... Go on and bring my... What other metal shows are coming up?
We got Megadeth and Lamb of God is coming to the Nautica. Is this something that appeals to you at all?
No. I don't like Megadeth. Mm. I was never a Megadeth fan.
I do.
Ever.
I do like Megadeth, but I'm not interested in seeing
them. I seen them live in 98 when they were on Ozfest, and that was at the Rubber Bowl.
Yeah. I saw them with Slayer at Nautica.
Ooh, that's a good
one. I mean, they were okay live. I think, to me, Megadeth is boring. I just don't like Megadeth.
See, you know,
I'm not a Megadeth fan.
They're guitar players, man, I think, more than anything. I think all my guitar player friends, they always talk about Rust in Peace. And for me, it was always the first two albums. Like, Killing Him Is My Business, especially the title track. Mm-hmm. You got all the guitar playing in the world that you want. But they were writing super complex songs that were also super fucking catchy. And that's a hard thing to do. Because once people – you either go one way or the other. Either you just have simple poppy – not pop, but simple pop format type tunes. Or you have something that's really super complex that doesn't really – carry you anywhere. Megadeth, those first two records in particular, were able to like write complex guitar riffs that were just catchy, you know.
I mean,
his vocals have always rubbed me the wrong way, but the music was always so good that I could overlook it.
I'm at the age where Countdown to Extinction was like my introduction to him.
Yeah,
like
that. It's not a terrible record.
I love that record especially at the time. Like, I thought songs like Skin of My Teeth and shit, like Sweating Bullets was. I mean, still to me, to this day, I can hear that song and jam out.
For me, it was his voice that turned me off.
Yeah. No, and that's fair.
And then he did that damn French song.
Yeah.
And I was like, look here, you French so-and-so. not putting up with your Frenchy stuff.
Well, they did So Far, So Good, So What, which I thought was kind of a stinker of a record. And Rust in Peace was good. Holy Wars is a great song, but he just really went overboard with, like, the more shredding and progressive stuff. And it wasn't that it was bad. I just like, it's not my lane.
You guys were fans of Euthanasia? No, the Hanging Babies, the record?
No, with the skull with the, dude.
I don't know anything about it.
The French song, A Tout Le Monde? You don't know anything about A Tout Le Monde? A Tout Les Amis? Je vous aime. It is a part here.
I don't know French.
He like does a French prayer and it's, ugh.
It's Frenchy.
It's like, gee, you guys, ew, who wants to war?
I got a friend that lives by France. She's like 3.5 hours out of France, right? And she was like, hey, if you come over, you know, to Germany or whatever, we'll drive over to France. And I was like, oh, I get to a bar fight.
Yeah.
She was like, why would you want to do that? I said, because they're fucking French and I'm American. That's what we do. I was like, I'll probably get the shit kicked out of me. She's like, you realize that's why they hate Americans so much? I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'm getting into a bar fight. I'm going to lose to a French guy and I'm going to fucking talk about it.
and Lamb of God's not at all selling you guys on wanting to go.
I don't like Lamb of God.
And the last time I seen them was at that venue.
Okay.
And it was the largest fucking circle pit I've ever seen in my life. Okay. I mean, it was a good 75 yards.
Was that the Sounds of the Underground? Were you at the Sounds of the Underground show? That was a great show. Guar, Clutch, fucking...
No, it wasn't that show.
Oh, you didn't go to the good one. I went to the good one.
It wasn't the Sounds of the Underground. So it was Lamb of God, Children of Bodom, Slayer, and somebody else.
I feel like Slayer has played every show that we've talked about. But
that was the first show that my nephew ever went to. He was 15 years old, and he was like a high school football player. The kid could bench fucking 250 pounds mm-hmm. at 15. So I told him, I said, you know, bring your mouthpiece. He was like, what do you mean? Just bring your fucking mouthpiece. And he did. He brought his fucking mouth guard, dude. And that kid had the time of his life.
That's actually at that pretty fucking smart show. When you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't want him losing teeth.
Earplugs,
you know?
And mouthpieces. And I got two quick stories about Lamb of God. That same Slayer show that I took my son to.
Was it the Anthrax one?
Yeah. And I missed Testament, which I was really mad about because I heard they were also very good.
Yeah.
Anthrax got in and got out, played, what, 20 minutes? Really good set.
Yeah.
And I think Joey Belladonna sounds better now. Than he did back then.
He sounded great.
Behemoth played, and Brent was just looking at me like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, I said to him, maybe you like Lamb of God better. And he's like, okay. So Lamb of God gets up there, and Randy Blythe had this riser in the middle of the stage that he was standing on singing from that was higher than the guitar players. And Brent turns and he goes, what's this guy's problem? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, like, why is he standing on that riser? I'm like, it's just a choice. It's a dramatic choice. It's part of the show. He goes, it's pretty dumb. He goes, does he think he's the most important person in the band? And I said, I think so. And he goes, 100%. Well, clearly he's not, because he's the worst part about this band. And I was just like, wow.
Randy.
And then, second story, Randy Blythe came in and did some Zero Defects covers when Zero Defects played the matinee a few years ago. Because he is friends with Brad Warner from Zero Defects. So Randy Blythe came over to the matinee and was singing with Zero Defects.
What?
Yeah.
True fucking
story.
Here?
Yes. Here, Akron,
when,
Ohio.
When was that?
A few years ago. A number of years ago.
Oh, that'd have been fucking
awesome. Well, that makes Randy Blythe cool, then.
Not really.
No, I don't know. I mean, well, it's like not does. Uncool.
Yeah.
It's not uncool, but I don't. I just thought it. Okay, I do kind of think it's cool, but I also it doesn't make me appreciate him necessarily more.
I mean, the dude's like a multimillionaire, travels the fucking world. And he's like, he's got to be. I mean, Lamb of God's huge.
Oh yeah, the millionaire.
Like they're making mad fucking money. I've seen their videos.
He was at a check.
He takes his vocal lessons. He's got money.
Okay.
And then here he is just chilling at the mat.
He reads the books. The bass player for Zero Defects is a Zen Buddhist priest or of some sort, of some note. He's written several books, and I think Randy Blythe was way into the books, and he got into Zero Defects, and he came up and he did a couple songs with them. Yeah, I mean, if that's his if he wants to buy into that horseshit religion, that's his business. I mean, but really, and let me be clear. What religion is not horseshit? Yeah. They all are. But
Buddhists kind of have a better religion.
They respect all life.
That's what they believe, everything should have a right to live. That's what they want you to think.
It's
but the moment
whole
you disagree with them, somehow
stink bugs outside.
But for some reason, if you disagree with them, you just don't understand.
You're not enlightened.
They're just as pompous and arrogant as the rest of them. They can all eat a big steaming dick. I don't care.
I seen the Shaolin monks. They're like on the same line of religion, right?
Yeah,
as the Buddhists.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're monks.
Are they the same thing? Buddhist monks.
Yeah.
Shaolin monks.
Same thing.
Yeah. Look, they were on fucking Ozfest.
Charging $125
a ticket. It was like $100 a ticket.
The only time I'm down with Buddhism is if it's in a Shaw Brothers film and those guys are fighting to protect their master.
That shit, yeah.
That's the only Buddhism I'm down for.
That's when that shit's dope.
It's involved in the movies.
I just think you shouldn't kick puppies, and they think the same thing. So.
I don't think you have to be a Buddhist to not want to kick puppies. That's it doesn't hurt. That's my take on it.
They invented not kicking puppies.
Right?
Just don't kick puppies.
They were like the first ones that were like, whoa, kicking puppies is bad. And everybody else was like, you should listen to the Buddhists.
Well, I think you've changed my mind.
Now, they're not coming to Cleveland, but Deftones is on tour. Does that interest you at all?
Yeah, of course. I love the Deftones.
Do you?
Yeah. I've seen them live where they sounded like complete fucking shit, mm-hmm. and I've seen them live where they sounded awesome. You don't know where you're... I think it kind of depends. Like, when I seen them sound like shit, it was at Blossom.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe if I was dead center of the pavilion for that show, they would have sounded better. I was, like, off to the side of the pavilion, and it just sounded very fucking tinny, and it was awful.
They were the first band I ever seen live. They weren't good then. They weren't good. I never got the Deftones. Do you ever listen to the Deftones, Larry?
I don't know the first thing about them.
Like,
I know they have a
Deftones always just sounded like... Okay,
I never got White Pony or something. I don't know. I automatically shut my mind off to them because of their, whether justify it or not, association with quote unquote new metal. But I've never listened. I may have heard stuff.
I never got it. That was their first album.
No, it was not.
Second album.
Fuck you. Adrenaline was great.
It was fine. It was like as great as Sugar Ray's first record. It was fine.
Oh, God.
It was fine. In fact, I'd put Lemonade and Brownies over Adrenaline.
Off, his name is Mark. Wow.
I would put Lemonade and Brownies. Dude, Mean Machine, Big Black Woman, fucking Danzig Needs a Hug. That first Sugar Ray record was dope.
Big Black Woman?
Yeah. Big Black Woman! I'm playing it now on the podcast. How about that? Big Black Woman!
Jesus Christ.
The first Sugar Ray record was harder than the first Deftones record.
Fuck those guys!
Why?
Oh my God!
He just threw a bottle of 5-Hour at me.
I'm the one who asked why he insults you.
Look, Sugar Ray is fucking awful, That band is awful. I had to work a show of theirs, right? They were playing with Orgy down in fucking Ohio University.
That sounds like and I'm a great working, gig.
I'm working security backstage area, right? Mm-hmm. It's the stairs that go up to the stage and shit. Fucking Sugar Ray comes out, and that's what I call him. Sugar Ray comes out, and he's like, looked at me, and I was like, hey, you're that Sugar Ray guy. And he got pissed. Like, he was mad, and he looks at me, and he was like, my name is Mark.
Yeah!
And he walked away and had me removed. I had to go guard the buses after that.
Maybe you shouldn't be so disrespectful.
Yeah, seriously.
Fuck that guy!
I did that to Larry at Blackout Cookout when he told me my name wasn't Eagle. He said, your name is Eric. And I said, my name is Eagle. Get this man removed.
It's not even Eagle. It's fucking Eric Turkey Vulture. Look at it and change it to fucking Eric Carrier Pigeon. How about that? You like that? You want some of that shit?
Deftones are touring with Poppy. Do you know anything about Poppy? Do you guys have any clue what Poppy is?
Good looking chick.
She's a young girl who is like a YouTube sensation.
You're not talking about fields in Afghanistan?
The heroin? No, that's not what
I mean, we are in Akron. Isn't that what we talk about here?
Yeah.
I seen a picture of the...
Poppy?
Yeah.
She goes, hey, my name is Poppy. And she says that for like 20 minutes at a time in a video. She was like a YouTube sensation.
God. Really?
And then she started making music and people were like, kids, my kids.
Should I look this person up?
Yeah, go ahead. My kids were getting into this Poppy shit. And then she started doing metal. And now it's not good. It's along the lines of baby metal style stuff.
I keep getting pictures of flowers, but... Oh, wait, there she is. She looks like she's 9.
Yeah, dude, she's like a kid.
She looked like she was fucking 21 in the picture that I see.
I'm thinking that the Deftones... I'm thinking the Deftones have kids now, and their kids are picking and they're opening acts. I mean, Gojira's opening up. I do like Gojira.
You know, I've never listened to them.
You might like it.
I'll have to put that on my list too, along with doing that deep dive for Run to Jewels before the show.
Yeah.
In
that
first
Sugar Ray record, don't forget to listen to that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Next.
I don't think I'll be revisiting that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely doesn't look 9.
Oh no, that's not the picture I saw. Hold on.
That's like the picture that I've seen.
Where is it? I just had it. I keep having these fucking flowers. Oh, there she is. That's the picture I was looking at. That's her, right?
Yeah.
She looks like a kid. She's like a child.
Looks like a fucking kid. She's fucking.
She's a kid
hanging out with Billie Eilish.
I think they. I think it's funny. Wikipedia has her listed as an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
That's debatable, I guess. Apparently.
Well.
Oh wait, American singer, songwriter, actress, author, model, and YouTube personality.
Yeah.
If I had a fucking wiki page, it would say I was an entertainer.
That
you know how
is
far
a
that
deep,
goes.
Deep resume. I could probably just slap all those labels. To myself as well.
You should.
Because I am an American singer.
Do you have
a
wiki?
I am
a
songwriter.
I feel like you should have one.
I am an actor because I have to act like I like people I work with.
Very baby metal.
Is that bloody? Is that blood all over?
Yeah, yeah. Chocolate syrup.
Did she really just say poetry, poetry, poetry?
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a move by the Deftones to get younger people to their shows, or are they trying to get their fan, like, piss off their 45-year-old fans?
I think it's whoever their manager is bought on to the Deftones tour, because that's usually how that shit works.
Is that really
I'm just trying to figure out what the crossover is.
You buy yourself on the tours?
That's how a lot of those fucking bands did that shit. They fucking buy on the tours and shit, yeah. I think Lamb of God first started fucking touring, there were people around here talking about, oh, we can get on the Lamb of God tour for $5,000.
But yeah, I'm qualified for all these things. I'm a singer, songwriter. I can act because I act like I like people.
Mm-hmm.
I've written stuff before, so I'm an author.
And you act like you hate me.
I'm a fucking model. Have you seen me? Boys, have you seen me?
You're a fucking hand
I'm just
model.
Not, I'm just not a YouTube person. No.
You might be a... I'm fucking kneecap.
You should
model.
Become a YouTube personality. Last show I want to talk about before we cut out of here. Metal at the Map, March Madness.
What?
Are you going to this? Are you going to this show, Larry?
If you're lucky.
I heard there's going to be free pizza.
Yeah, there's going to be pizza, though.
That's the only reason I'm going.
All right.
The only reason anybody goes.
The free pizza.
It's going to be Radian. Goose is coming around for round 2. Persistent aggressors. What's it called? Passive aggressor.
Passive aggressive.
Pessimistic.
Passive aggressor. What was one of my friends? Assistant professor.
Assistant professor. Yeah. That one is awesome.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if Josh cares about Tell Story, but he got the name from, he was listening to South of Heaven, and they do that cover, Dissident Aggressor, that Priest song.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh is just like, he wanted something similar to that because he loves the name of that song. He's like, well, I can't suggest we name our band Dissident Aggressor. So he just said Persistent.
Aggressive.
And that's how our name is. Basically roundabout way of honoring a Judas Priest tune. That's a fucking awesome song. So that's kind of where the name comes from, actually.
Huh. That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So are you going to the show, though?
You're definitely going to see you there.
Playing, yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah, but you can, you can show up, walk in, sing, and fucking leave. It doesn't mean you're going to be at the show.
Well, that's my plan. I'm just going to...
And I don't want to put the pressure on any of the listeners like we did with the Christmas party.
Why not?
Pizza party. I just want to say that if you're able to go, that's much appreciated. And if you're not, go fuck yourself.
I think it's pretty fucked up.
Fuck yourself in a box. Set yourself on fire. Dead to me.
It would be a lot easier just to come to the show and eat pizza.
Just fucking go to the show. It's free. Like, what kind of shit? And then the bands don't want to tell you this. Bands never want to tell their friends. They never want to tell their fans. They never want to tell anybody that listens to their shit this. Because you got to save face. You got to be nice. You go, I understand if you don't. I don't have a fucking band. I don't get it. I don't get why the fuck you don't come to a pizza party. Free pizza. Free bands. Yeah. Free live entertainment.
I have a horrible face. So
it's in an awesome fucking room for fucking metal, rock, whatever. Rip your face off, persistent aggressor type music. What kind of music is it again? Would you say pop? K-pop?
Yeah.
Fucking hardcore K-pop. Blowing in your face. If you don't go, seriously, like...
We bought on the feel, next
I,
side
I,
tour.
I do kind of feel like that the pressure is on you, in a way.
Mm.
Because ceiling tiles got blown out of the mat last time.
So if you don't up
you're gonna, you're
the
gonna have
game.
To deliver the... You're gonna have to deliver the aggression.
I'm not worried about it.
Oh, he ain't scared.
That's not what I said either.
Larry said
bottles?
He's scared.
I just don't feel obligated to live up to anybody's fucking expectations.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And here, you know what?
Look at me.
Listen. The only thing I feel obligated to do is to make you fucking cry at the show, Eric, if you keep talking shit.
Jesus Christ.
Which is what I might do. And if you don't think I
you were going to do that anyway.
I've got
whatever.
Fucking,
it doesn't even matter now.
I've
you
got
came 30... into my vehicle with a learn how to shit pee book. You were going to do that shit anyway.
Maybe.
I was going to be nothing but nice, and you came in like, hey, man, this guy doesn't know how to his own butt.
Eagle don't know how to poop.
Just keep in mind that you keep running your mouth. I've got 30 years of being up on stage and telling people that their mothers are fucking worth pieces of shit. And telling them that, you know, basically the reason that they're interrupting my show and making fun of me and trying to heckle me is because, you know...
I'm going
to
be outside while you guys play. I'm not even going
to
be there for it.
Relationships with their parents and they're starved for attention.
Have at it. I'm going to lead a crew of people to go outside.
I'll be inside the whole time texting you everything he's saying.
Do you think that's going to stop me?
He's got a wireless mic.
It'll stop me from getting
wireless.
My feelings.
I can say whatever and he's going to hear me anyway. You better just come over to Zub's and hang out.
You say you should just get across the street.
But look, I'm just saying that.
I just want you to say nice things about me for a change.
Well,
at the shows.
If you're going to tell me I need to bring it and I need to do this, I don't need to.
He
do
was
it.
Telling you that, really. I mean,
well,
I was
you
just
were agreeing.
I
like Grant better than you, so
well,
I'm going to take it out on you.
I do too, so I get it. I like him way more than I like myself.
So, Turkey Vulture, listen.
I'm
going to.
Any of you like me?
Listen. I just don't give a fuck. I just want to play the fucking show and have a good time.
That's almost guaranteed.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
you're
fun.
You're going to do that anyway.
I think it's a bit unfair and a bit ageist of you to try to hold me to the standard of young, strapping Sean McDonald and his band of miscreants. It's a little bit unfair. You know I'm old and fragile. You know I don't get enough calcium. I'll tell you what might happen. My hip might break and I might fall.
Oh! Ooh, this will be even a better story than the jump off the stage last Don Austin show.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, you remember that time Larry broke his hip?
That's didn't even
he just he turned to the right
broke.
When he should have turned left.
Shit just broke. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Hey, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Yeah. The next middle of the mat, you guys need to have pillars do it.
Oh, I'd love to have fucking Pillage
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, I'm just, I was thinking about that all week. I'm like, who should play next one? I'm like, aside from Goost. Because Goost is going to play every one of them. No, I'm not even fucking joking about that.
I'm fine with that. Okay with that. Kenny, you know what? I'm in it.
Kenny and his band of idiots should play.
His merry band of idiots.
The only reason I say that is because every time I see them together, one of them is calling the other one an idiot. And I'm like, okay, so they're a band of idiots. I mean, okay. I get it. I mean, you know, I don't think they're idiots, but they think each other are idiots. Yeah, so
like,
I'll just.
Herb had a birthday, and Kenny wished him a happy birthday on Facebook, and he was like, happy birthday, idiot. That was how he did it. Happy it's birthday,
sweet.
Idiot.
I love Goose.
So sweet. But they should play every one of them, but the support this time, and I do say support because Goose should headline. Pillars should be one of the bands.
I would love to have Pillars.
I'll tell you the lineup right now. It's going to be Goost, Pillars, and
Sweaty Mammoth.
Sweaty Mammoth, Goost, and Pillars.
Fuck, that would be sweet.
If not Sweaty Mammoth, I was going to say Axioma if we could get them.
Ooh, I would love.
If we could get them to do it. I don't know. Aaron. Aaron's a cranky guy. He's crankier than I am. I love that guy so much.
I think he's down with pizza, too.
Oh, I love that guy so much. He's so funny. He says the crankiest shit, and I just crack up every time. But I think if it's not Sway Mammoth, it should be Axioma, Goost, and Pillars.
Man, that'd be a good show.
Cool. That's better than mine. It was going to be Goost, Metal Mafia, Grim Trigger. But your idea is way better than mine.
You know, if you have Grim Trigger, then we don't need any pizza.
Yeah, that's true.
Grim Trigger, dude.
Grim Trigger.
Sonny Von Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm excited for the show, though. We haven't played in a while. We haven't played since September. So I've been chomping.
First show of 2020.
Man, it's going to – I'm so looking forward to this. March 13th at the Matinee, 812 West Market Street, Avenue, Road.
It's drive. A fucking street. How do you not know it's Market Street by now?
Dude, I don't know how to read.
You work on it.
I don't how.
Forever.
I got other shit to pay attention to. I have to deal with like sales reps and shit.
You have to drive all
now,
the way
so, like,
down into your house, and then when you leave your house, you immediately get on which street to get to work?
I don't know.
Market.
The one with the stores on it.
Oh, Market Avenue.
It's the one with the stores on
it. Oh, Market Boulevard. Oh.
Pizza at 9:30. Band start at 10 o'clock sharp. Or your money back. How about that?
Yeah, we'll go on first, and then either Goose or Radiant or whoever else, however they want to round that up.
Is that how you guys are doing it?
That's how I want to do
is
it.
Is that what's going
to
happen?
I'm putting that to tape now because I want to play first. So I mean, the other guys are just going to have to fucking... Well, I don't know. The guy Josh might be mad at me.
We got to get Goose would have to play second. Radiant would have to headline because like if you there's a sweet spot with Kenny. You know what I mean? You want to catch him in the sweet spot. If he drinks over the sweet spot.
Yeah, he's talked to me about the sweet spot before.
I
just think it's only fair because those guys are out putting in work and we play so infrequently. It doesn't make sense for us to fucking. We should just open the show up, man. Have a good time. And
you guys should all just set up your shit at one time and then just jam back and forth.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a wonderful idea I just came up with just now.
If that's how we're doing. Call it. I mean,
I do.
You know,
it's my podcast microphone thing.
Okay, great. You win.
I'm in control.
That's right.
I'm in control.
When I hold this microphone, I win. When you hold yours at the mat, you get to destroy me. I'm not looking forward to that at all now.
You'll be fine.
Now I'm scared.
Even at the bowling alley. He destroyed you at the bowling alley when he had a microphone, too.
And it's like Jessica just doesn't talk to me for like days after persistent aggression shows.
Because he belittles you.
She's just like, you're not a real man.
Fuck, I married the wrong one.
That's like the riddle of steel.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks for coming in, though.
Yeah, thanks for popping in.
Yeah.
That was a very nice surprise.
Thanks for reading me a book that, you know.
You weren't surprised. Eric knew I was coming.
I knew.
I was surprised.
I knew for the sake of the podcast, Eric's like, we're surprised. No, I was fucking coming.
I was surprised.
I'm glad.
I didn't know.
Grant was surprised. I'm always happy
because he didn't let me in.
He didn't let you in the car?
No, he didn't let me in on that you were coming to the show that I'm half of.
That's terrible.
No, it's okay.
You guys should...
No, it's fine!
You know what's weird is, like, I think that... I think it's odd that a guy whose, you know, surname is Turkey Vulture is not going to, you know, allow some equity in this partnership that you have. And, Grant, I really think you need to start...
I wanted to surprise Grant.
No, hold on. Let me help Grant out here.
Yeah, what is up with that?
You really need to, like, write down your feelings and make a list of demands, you know, and start sharing them.
Okay, but writing them down and then sharing them, I'm just going to have to read them He can't read.
No.
Why would I write him down?
I could just say them. You can read them to him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you can, like, make tickets. Like, you can like say the, one podcast, Eric, I would like a foot massage. And then Eric would reciprocate and give you a foot massage. And then Eric would list his demands, but they should be fewer than yours because you're far more important.
Yeah, less feet.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'm not doing foot massages. That's my demand. No foot massages.
Says the guy named Turkey Vulture. Lives Turkey. In his car that does not have poop.
Well, that's it for the show. We're going to play some Persistent Aggressor to go out.
No, nice. Let's not.
We're doing it!
It's our fucking show.
Fuck you. You know what? Just fuck you. I'm playing your band. We're playing some Persistent Aggressor.
I'll just lay out another
note. Oh, I don't even really want to go to the Rage Against the Machine show, but I'm going to go.
Okay. My name is Turkey Vulture.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
Bob.
Bye.